So welcome everyone to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host. And it's wonderful to be back after taking a little break for a few days. So today our call is with Nancy Marmolejo, and it's Finding Your Profitable Essence, Four Keys to Discovering the Authentic Money-Making Core of Your Business. And before we dive in, Nancy is really making a big buzz with all the profitable essence. And as you know, this is one of those things that we've been hearing over and over in the Telesummit, that before you even do your marketing, you've really got to know who you are and what you bring to the world. So we're going to really dive into that in a moment. So, but before that, let's just take a moment to connect. If you've been seated all day, it's really nice to just stand up, place your feet hip-width apart, take a nice deep breath, and exhale, and just soften your knees, relax your shoulders as if you've got little five-pound sandbags. Just kind of feel your fingers kind of almost touching the floor. And just feel yourself resting in this moment, connecting to all the folks who are up for a new way of doing business, consciously, full of integrity, aligned with your essence and purpose. And just feel the possibility that's available on this call. 1 hour we're going to spend together, and magical things can happen in 1 hour. You're going to hear things that are going to be just for you, and you're going to be ready to put them into place. So make sure you have a pad and a pen, and also the handout that Nancy sent us. And we're going to dive in. So, Nancy, it's wonderful to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Really great. And for those folks who may be new to Nancy, which is kind of hard to believe because she's really all over the place. Yeah, you know, no matter where I go, I see Nancy. So it's wonderful. And someone who's really getting their message out there loud and clear and ready for consumption. Nancy Marmolejo is the award-winning founder of Viva Visibility, a coaching and consulting company that helps entrepreneurs get known. A gifted strategist with a heightened sense of intuition, Nancy's specialty is raising the visibility level of entrepreneurs so they can market themselves as recognized, credible experts. Her company provides social media, branding, and PR strategies for individuals and companies wanting to take their messages to bigger audiences. Her clients include thought leaders in business, the arts, niche markets, and personal development. Welcome, Nancy. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, and thank you for saying Marmolejo the way you do.
I'm Cuban, so I can't say it any other way. I know how it's pronounced.
Beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. So, I just wanted to take a moment and just, I know, you may be new to some folks here, even though we've got quite a panel of experts that I'm sure that many folks were in each other's, tribes, and we've seen a lot of each other, on social media, on the web. But for those of you, for those folks that may be new to you, Nancy, can you just tell us a little bit about how you got started in business? Because as a typical entrepreneur, you did not have a straight path to where you are.
Oh, no. Who does? I dare to find the person who has the straight path. It's interesting. Becoming an entrepreneur is just a series of decisions that you don't even realize that one small decision is leading you down this major, major path. And that's one of the things that, you read in my bio. Just I'm very, very intuitive and have always depended on feelings and hunches and intuition to guide me, and it's been a pretty incredible experience. I grew up in a family business, and it was a very interesting upbringing. My dad had a little variety store. That's what we used to call them, variety stores, where he just sold a little bit of everything. And then some of the bigger chain stores came into town. This was in the early 70s, and that pretty much put him out of business. It was real sad, sort of the passing of the small business in small-town America. But he got this crazy idea to start a flea market in the early 70s, and this was a place where people would, go and empty out their garages and bring it over on the weekend and put out a table or put out a blanket and put their junk and put their treasures out there for people to buy. And I joke around. I say this is what we did before eBay. We had flea markets. And what was so fascinating about the flea market, and of course we were all put to work. And I mean, when I say I grew up in a family business, I mean, we didn't really have much of a choice. It's, you reach a certain age and your weekends are gone. You now work for Dad. And what was so fascinating about it was just the way that there are certain people who intuitively know that in order to get more business, there has to be something distinctive and memorable about you. And some of people, it was real gimmicky. You know, it might have been like a, you know, they always wore a black cowboy hat, or they always had some sort of a little gimmick about themselves, but it was so memorable. And I would watch and I would see how you could have two people standing next to each other selling whatever, lawnmowers, for example, and it could be the exact same lawnmower, but they'd go to the person who had more personality. Because there was a story involved, you'd laugh, you were fascinated with the person. And so that's really where I learned about branding. That's where I learned about marketing and how important it is that you as a business owner not just stand behind the counter and expect your products to sell themselves, but to infuse your personality and your spirit into your business so that people come and want to know you as well as know about your business. So that was phase one of how I got into business, was this family business thing. And then after college, I became a teacher. And it was really interesting. I decided at some point, it's like, okay, Dad, I was like in my 20s. I'm like, Dad, I can't work for you anymore. I have to get out on my own. And I worked as a teacher. I taught English as a second language, primarily to Spanish-speaking students, but I also had students from all over the world. And this is in the 90s. I had kids who were, you know, coming from war-torn parts of the world to the United States, and I was so many of my students were falling through the cracks, and people just really wrote them off and figured they weren't going to make something of themselves. And so my job as a teacher in those days was to spot what really shined inside of each individual and to be able to reflect that back to them, because so many of these young people could not see that in themselves. They believed what everybody told them. They believed, you know, society's opinion that they weren't really there to contribute much. And it was amazing because it turned these lives around. And I'd take the kids to colleges and law schools, and I'd take them on field trips on the weekends and on school days. I mean, anywhere we could go, I would take the kids to, just everywhere. I even took them, there was a hospital on strike down the street from our school, and I took them down there just to see what it was like, because there were kids that came from countries where you would have been, you know, imprisoned and tortured had you gone on strike. And it was such an amazing and empowering experience. So that's where I really, you know, fine-tune this ability to see in a person and to pull out what makes them great and to reflect it back to them. And then 7 years ago, I started my own coaching and consulting business and took those two life paths and merged them together. So that way I formed my business around ways that, you know, find out what makes you unique and distinctive, and then use these visibility strategies to let the world know about you, to get your message out to more people. And whatever tactics we need to use, let's use them, whether it's social media, public speaking, going on TV, what have you, but let's get you out there so the world can also experience how amazing you are. And that's my story of how I got here, Adela.
That's a wonderful story, Nancy. And, you know, I just wonder how much, especially working with students, because you're talking about bringing out the brilliance in someone when, you know, which really is what makes them uniquely visible. How did that segue into this business that you have of coaching and helping people elicit and kind of go, you know, treasure hunting for their brilliance?
Well, what I do is, you know, I've got clients who come to me who are multi-talented. And they might be new in business, or they've been in there for a long time. They might have a mastery level, or they are simply emerging in their industry. and they cannot see the value of what it is that they have to offer. And so when we do treasure hunting, for example, with clients, that is a way of really going in and finding out not only what you're great at, but who you are when you're doing your greatest work. What are the specific set of talents and skills and intentions that you bring to the table that makes your skill set as unique as your fingerprint? There are clients, my goodness, I have this one client who, she was just doing everything. I mean, she had so many things she could do and, you know, once again, another multi-talented person. But when we found out, well, what is that one thing? What is that one thing that you do better than all of those things? When she realized the value of it and the power of it, she was able to drop the things that were mediocre, focus on the talents and skills that were just phenomenal, and she has absolutely exploded her income while she's helping other people through her work. So it's this wonderful ripple effect that when you are able to discover the show pieces inside of your own, you know, your treasure chest, that serves you and it serves the world in such a beautiful way because it gets what I call your medicine out there, and people need it. We've got all these talented entrepreneurs who, you know, it's sort of like a cluttered room. You can't find the treasures. You really have to be able to identify what the best pieces are and to display those properly.
Yeah, and I have more questions about that, but we're going to come back around to those because I find that that's one really big piece. That most folks, they don't do enough of that treasure hunting, and so they put themselves out there without really getting to that, like, one super bang, like, amazing thing that's so different that they do. So I want to come back to that. So it almost seems like a no-brainer as to why we need to be visible. But, and I know that this is your area of expertise, but can you spell out for us really clearly what that means and why it's so important, especially now?
Yeah, and especially online. I want to emphasize to people that your online visibility is hugely important. What I noticed early on, once again, back in my days in the flea market, that the people who, you know, if you knew about somebody, you're more likely to go to them. When I was a teacher, I made it a point to let other teachers and administrators and people in the district know what I was doing and know about the accomplishments because later on I got offered some really good positions in training other teachers and in speaking. It opened the door to lots of opportunities. You have to let people know about your accomplishments. And it's not from a place of bragging. Once again, it really is from a place of serving because this is a resource that the world needs to know about. And it also gives people hope. They love to hear about success stories because just reading about someone's success story or hearing about it is going to inspire others. Now, I started my business in 2003 after my daughter was born. And I really wanted to have a business that I could work from my home while I cared for my daughter. I knew that it was going to be very difficult for me to get out there and run around and try to meet everybody in the whole wide world who was going to need to hire me. And in my situation, the internet was the solution. From very early on, visibility was my number one priority. The more people who could know about me, first of all, it would increase the number of opportunities that I would have. And then second of all, it increases your credibility. If nobody has ever heard of you, it doesn't matter how good you are at what you do, but if nobody's ever heard of you, you don't have the credibility. And credibility is not something that you tell people that you have, like, oh, I'm credible, but nobody's going to listen to you if you are the only one saying it. You're credible when other people are saying it about you. When other people can vouch for you, can say, oh, you know, Adela is this incredible, you know, organizer of the Conscious Business Telesummit, or, you know, somebody from the outside, whether it's the media or a client testimonial, or perhaps it's an article you've written that was published or you've been interviewed somewhere. When you have this third party validation, that increases your credibility. So if somebody goes online and puts your name in there, they're going to find you, and your website, but they're also going to find this trail of credibility that just once again emphasizes to the world that you really are who you say you are, and you really know what you say you know, and you really get the results that you say you can help people get. And that's how people are making their decisions. They don't want to just hire you because you say you're awesome. It doesn't matter how many letters you have after your name or all the certifications or modalities that you've learned. You really have to have that outside credibility. So focusing on online visibility is essential, once again, because that's where we go for our information now. We go to the internet. I mean, and I can, it's not just I have to go home to my home computer. I can check it on my smartphone. I can look you up right this minute if I have internet access, which is just about anywhere. So it's so important that people have an online visibility strategy that supports their expertise and lends to their credibility.
Yeah, I'm sure that everyone on this call, the first thing that they do when they want to find out about someone, the first thing they do is put their name in Google.
Exactly. And if somebody other than you comes up, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, these third-party endorsements that you're talking about, whether it's colleagues or maybe somebody who's a little bit further along, you know, the professional path than you or the media, it's not like you can go out and ask them. I mean, you could, but the most powerful endorsements come from people being connected to your work and experiencing it and saying, wow, this is the person that you need to go to for X.
Yeah, and especially
right?
if it comes from, you know, the media or if it doesn't look like it's something that you solicited.
Right.
These things are powerful, and that was something from a very, very early stage in my business. I was very focused on getting to get that media coverage so that way I could have that outside verification. And it was extremely valuable because then next thing I know, I was showing up in the media. And once you show up in the media, other people start asking you, oh, we're having this, we have this article. Can you comment on it? Gee, we have this TV show over here. Would you like to be do a segment? And next thing you know, you're all over the media. And one of the greatest things you can do with that is take all those logos from all the media that you've appeared in and put it on your website, you know, as seen on, as featured in, and, you know, recognized expert. I'm proud to say I have over 100 media credits to my name. And, I mean, I stopped counting, so I just now say over 100 media credits to my name. And it could be 200-300 by now. But it's one of those things that you just you know, people see it and they're like, wow, you know, there's a strong element of credibility there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to hear how you got some of those a little bit later on. So what is it about having a distinctive and memorable presence that creates a different kind of business?
There are so many people out there who are, you know, want to be in business, who are using the internet to be in business. And what happens is that depending on who you're getting your training and your mentoring from or where you get your information, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Adela, but sometimes all the messages start to look very similar.
Same. Mm-hmm.
Same picture, same clip art, same colors on the website, the same formula for the
newsletter,
whatever it is. Everything looks very, very manufactured.
Uh-huh.
And at first, it's really cool because it provides a solution for people. And I'm not knocking it. If you, you know, let's say you have something, I just call it a scaffold. I figure, okay, use something as a scaffold for a little while. But at some point or another, you're supposed to take the scaffold down. And when you do that, that's because you have added your personal touch. So there are some very smart marketing tactics that you can follow, but it's more important than ever to put your personal touch on it, just like those people at the flea market would put their personal touch on you know, how they represented their business. Because what do you do if, let's say, you're a life coach and you go to a networking event or you go to a live event or you're, you know, out there positioning yourself on the web and it seems like everybody you bump into is also a life coach? For some people, that can get really disheartening. And so the important thing that you have to do is to go in and make it what makes you distinctive from your life story, from your personal strengths, from your unique perspective. So that way you could stand next to 1,000 life coaches and not ever once feel like there's competition around you. Mm. And that's the key to it. And that's when I bring up this concept of the profitable essence, because that's going in and finding that fingerprint about you. What makes you distinctive? What makes you stand out in what you do so that you are absolutely incomparable?
Wow, finding the fingerprint. That's a pretty unique promise.
It's pretty cool when you find it. Because
yeah.
Then you realize, oh, I'm not so scared of everybody else now.
Yeah, and, you know, Nancy, I wondered if you could speak to this a little bit, because I wonder if you can find this by yourself or if you need help finding it.
My experience is that you need help finding it. And it's not because you don't have it. You could probably find it in somebody else, simply because I'm sure a lot of the people listening to this telesummit are probably naturally intuitive and have the ability to see into others and to coach other people around their gifts. It is darn near impossible to see it yourself. It's like trying to see the end of your nose. You can cross your eyes and try to look, but it's really, really hard. And I know for myself, I'll go and get coaching and mentoring. It's like, help, I do this for everybody else. How do I do it for me? And my clients all say the same thing. They say, Nancy, I mean, not all my clients, but a good number of my clients, they say, Nancy, I do what you do, but I can't do it for myself. And I said, exactly. That's why we all need to work together. So what I've done is I've created a process, and it was kind of cool because I always thought it was just this snap intuitive thing where I could just, you know, hear you say a couple things and I'll tell you what the answer is. But I actually I kind of freeze framed my process and was able to break it down into some specific steps that help people to discover this about themselves, so they're not as reliant on, guessing, or, you know, it's broken down the process so it's much easier for people to actually discover this profitable essence piece and to be able to apply it to their business. And it's really, really transforming a lot of people's businesses and giving new meaning to the way they position themselves out in the world, and how they use social media and how they use the web and how they use all of the visibility tactics. This is giving them a much deeper meaning that guides their entire strategy.
Yeah, because I think that one of the things that can be frustrating for people who are saying, well, I am using social media strategies. You know, I am putting out, I am interacting, I'm doing the 80-20 rule, you know, I'm promoting other people 20% of the time, I'm promoting me, I'm using Facebook, I'm using Twitter, and still I'm not getting much traffic to my website, I'm not getting people to sign up for my free teleseminars. It can be pretty frustrating for folks.
Oh yes, it can. And I, you know, I've been an advocate for using social media for the past 4 years, since 2006, and I caught a lot of flack for it back in the early days. People told me it was not a good idea. I can talk to you about that on another call. I think it was a good idea, and it still is a good idea. But what happens is that, you know, for me, I can put something out on Twitter and get a whole bunch of people to sign up for a, you know, a call or a class or something. And other people, they might try the exact same thing and say, well, I tried it. I didn't get the same results. Well, there's a really big difference. First of all, when, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. So I've built up a relationship with people. And one of the things that happens is people are forgetting that there's a relationship involved here. And because there are more and more people getting into social media, it takes a little bit longer for the relationships to blossom. You must have patience, and you have to be really strategic about how you do it. I will get people who contact me, and they'll say, I think you should put my information out on Twitter and tell everybody about me. And I'm like, why? Well, because I'm great at what I do, and I'm thinking, have you said hello yet? Where's your manners? And so much of it is the cultivation of relationships and really building that know, like, and trust factor. And once again, having credibility, providing value, building trust. So one of the first things when people tell me they're not getting results from social media is I start to ask them about their interaction, what's their emotional investment, what are they doing to turn their followers into fans, which is a really big difference. You know, as soon as you're a fan, it goes straight into your heart. And when you're feeling it in your heart, you're much more likely to be in that emotional place where you are looking at somebody, you know, you want to invest with them. So that's a big part of it, is just understanding that part, that piece. And the other part is being able to really shine out there. Once again, going back to this piece about being distinctive, why should people pay attention to you? What is it about you? Do you have that magnetism that people are attracted to, and they'll want to get to know you more and to be closer to you?
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you tap into your essence, it's magnetic. It's irresistible. People want more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I think one of the things that I've noticed, that sometimes that essence may not be the most logical thing for you to do if you're going from your intellect, right? You might say, well, I've got strengths and I've got skills in this area, you know, and I've got a skill set and I've got years and years and years of experience in this specific area. And your profitable essence may actually occur at a much deeper level that you may not have even tapped into.
Possibly. What the thing about profitable essence is that your profitable essence is really where your, you know, that feeling of who you are, that knowing, not even a feeling, it's a knowing of who you are when you're doing your greatest work. You intersect that to what's going to make you money right now. Because right now people don't want the, like, learn how to do something and in 5 years I'll make money from it.
Right.
Everyone is in the I need to make money, like, tomorrow. You know, I'm going to lose my house if I don't make some money right now. My kids are going to college. My husband just lost his job. I mean, there's so many things going on right now. We are in some pretty, pretty interesting times. And so the reason why it's called the profitable essence and not just essence is because you tie it to what people are going to want in the marketplace. So, for instance, one of my clients, she had a lot of different things that she was offering, and nobody could really get a grip on what was her specialty. And she found a specialty around helping people discover their signature message so they could do a signature talk and, you know, build a business around the signature message and really primarily around a signature talk. When she was able to focus on that, it changed everything, because her gift was being able to spot that in people, to be able to spot what makes you incomparable, what makes you distinctive, and how to put that together into a compelling, engaging talk. And from there, you know, then she teaches them how to build a business around it. That was a message that people were hungry to hear, and it completely transformed her business. So she was able to work from this place of strength and this place of her essence and make immediate money doing it. So that's really the key to it. It's this deep personal knowing, but then you take action on a very logical level, like, okay, great. How can I put that together so people will buy it? That's that's a key part of it.
Awesome. And I know that's described in your four keys to the successful business. So I wondered if we might dive into that now.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. This is really where people need to take some notes. And I actually have a little kind of a little acronym to guide us through it. There are four parts to this. But before we go into the four parts, I want to give you this little acronym. My business is called Viva Visibility, and so this is my Viva acronym. So if you write the letters Viva, V-I-V-A, and you can write them kind of going vertically down the page, then I can spell out this little acronym for you. This is what I use when I'm helping people discover this first part about themselves, which is the treasure hunting, which is the first key to a successful business, is you find out these treasures within you. And people say, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Say, okay, follow the Viva formula. The first V, the letter V, it stands for validate. And that is where you are going within and just validating yourself on what you intuitively know to be true about you. And it really takes a moment of honoring yourself, honoring the path that you've chosen to walk, the experiences that life has thrown your way, whether you asked for them or not, but just validate that you are this unique person who is sitting in this life with a whole bunch of interesting skills and talents. The next letter is the letter I, and that stands for investigate. And the validating part is more of a feeling part, intuitive. The investigate part is a little bit more logical, where you really need to prove to yourself on a logical level that you have these amazing talents. So that's where you might want to look at your, you know, specific life experiences, certifications, training, anything that can prove to you very tangibly that you have these incredible talents. Now, the third letter is the letter V, and that stands for verify. Now, earlier I had mentioned how credibility is what will really sell in the marketplace. Credibility is what's going to put you out there as somebody who people want to pay attention to. And you get credibility by getting verified from outside sources. So that second V, it stands for verify. Look around you and see what proof do you have from the outside that you have these incredible talents and that you're good at what you do. And this could be from client success stories. This can be from maybe somebody who's written about you or case studies, anything from the outside that verifies your talent and your skill. And then the last letter is ACT. The letter A stands for ACT. You take what you've learned from this validating yourself. You've taken what you've learned from investigating. You've taken what you've learned from getting this verification, and you take action with it. And then you get to decide what you want to do with it. What is the next best step? Do you transform your marketing? Do you recalibrate your brand a little bit? Is it time to update your message? Are you in the wrong business? Are you in the right business? I mean, it really opens up some huge, huge questions for people so they can start taking action on understanding who they are when they're doing their greatest work. And that's the piece that I call treasure hunting. I start off with this Viva formula and really take you through that so that way you can claim very quickly and very easily what it is that you're great at.
Awesome. So that's the part where they can kind of get a sense for themselves. So this is their own treasure hunting when they're doing it by themselves.
Yeah. Or I walk clients through this process as well. Mm-hmm. And actually, I apply this Viva formula to a number of situations. This is putting it into the treasure hunting. I can give you an example of how it shows up in other areas. The second key to a successful business is, first we have the treasure hunting. And these are actually the four keys to my profitable essence process. The first one is treasure hunting. The second one is what I call getting people to want it, which is pretty self-explanatory. You know, there's nothing worse than having this wonderful revelation about yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then nobody's really responding.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you run out there with this big ta-da, and the world's just sort of like, uh-huh, okay, whatever. you need to, you know, this is about getting people to want it, and this is understanding. Now, when we first came on the call, who was it that was talking about? They said that they, was it you? You say resonating with these different.
Yeah, with the words.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were talking about resonating with the language. You hear somebody say something and you just instantly resonate with the language and it makes you more interested.
Mm-hmm.
So getting people to want what you have, now you have this amazing talent. You have to understand who it's best suited for and what are the words and the language and the ways that you can get it out there so people will pay attention to it. How do you do that? You know, and that is where marketing comes in. That is where your voice as a public presence comes in. Who are you when you're in the spotlight? Who are you when you're out there using social media? If you write a blog, any of the different ways that we use the web to be visible, or even offline, you know, it's really about the energy and the personality of your business. So that way people, once again, get to know, like, and trust you. So you've done your treasure hunting, and then you fine-tune your language and your public presence so people want it. And then the next is crucial, and this is the part that a lot of people sort of skip over, and it's getting people to buy it. Once you have this, you know, it's like, oh, I discovered my essence, and I've got all, you know, 10,000 friends on Twitter. How come I'm not making any money yet? I said, well, how easy have you made it for people to buy from you? If somebody wants to work with you, if somebody wants to invest with you, what are you doing to get them to facilitate that process? Now, there are a lot of different ways that you can get people to buy from you. You can use a sales page on the web. You can use a one-on-one conversation. You can go out and speak, you know, at events or speak at a networking lunch. There are a million different ways that you can get people to want to buy from you, and you have to be able to offer them something that they can say yes to. So what does an offer look like? How do you package your services or your products? Is it clear? Do people understand what they're going to get out of it? Because if there's a little bit of confusion, they're not going to be able to move forward with you. So that piece is crucial, and it's probably one of the hardest pieces because things change. Things change really fast. What people were saying yes to 6 months ago, it might not be the same thing that they're saying yes to right now.
Mm-hmm.
Price points that worked a year ago, they may or may not work right now. You know, there's some people who keep pushing their prices up, 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 and there are other people who are pushing their prices down. They both have a strategy behind it, but you need to know what is the response that you want from your followers, and what's the price point, and what's the exact package. And then the fourth key to the successful business is counting up the numbers. As a creative person, as an intuitive person, the numbers are sometimes the last thing I think of. And I'll be sitting there going, gee, I wonder why this isn't working. And I have a friend who's an accountability partner who's very left-brained and will say, well, are you tracking? Did you count how many people open the email or how many people are clicking? I'm like, oh, that's right, I better go do that. So I've trained myself to make friends with my left brain and to embrace my logical self and get my intuitive and logical self to play nicely together. And I teach this to my clients and give them some very, very easy to follow tools so that way they can keep track of what's working and what's not working. So we don't just go in there from this place of feeling an emotion and then we get real raw and disillusioned when things don't work out the way we want them to. I strongly believe that we have to do the footwork, even if we feel like we've gotten, you know, the divine download. And I've got all these people say, yes, but this business idea came to me in a vision. And I say, that's great. I'm really happy for you. But you still got to do something Monday morning. You know, you still got to pick up the phone every now and then. You just can't sit there and everything's just going to come your way. I do believe that we are here to put forth the effort. And that's part of how we express our who we are as people. So putting those four things together, the treasure hunting, the getting people to want it, getting people to buy it, and counting up the numbers, if you put all that together, that's really the key to guiding a successful business that starts from a heart-based perspective, but then, you know, comes in very profitably also.
Yeah, because you've got to see what's actually working.
Yeah. Like, there are a lot of people who don't bother to look at what's working and what's not working. Instead, it's like, oh, I haven't gotten any results. Okay, I think I'll invent something new and put it out there. as opposed to studying what worked and what didn't work, then maybe there was just a slight tweak that could have been made. Or maybe, you know, if you just picked up the phone and called 10 people, maybe you would have completely changed your results.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, Nancy, because sometimes, you know, we may put things out and then we use, you know, the marketing strategy that, you know, that feels comfortable for us, that feels aligned with us, and then we don't get the results that we want and we think, oh, that didn't work. And it may just be a matter of what you're talking about, tweaking and testing, which, as you've said before, this is the exciting part and sometimes the frustrating part of, you know, an online business is that things are always changing.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's the moving, I mean, it's just the moving target. It never, you're like, oh, I got it. Oh, no, wait, it's gone. Oh, I got it. No, it's gone. Oops, I got it. And it's funny because I remember somebody contacted me one time and said, you know, Nancy, I tried everything. I did everything you said. You know, I set myself up on Facebook. I set myself up on Twitter. You know, they listed a bunch of things and said, I haven't gotten any clients from it yet. Then I went back and said, okay, well, can you tell me how many, you know, how much outreach do you make per day, per week? How many people are you talking to? How many contacts from Facebook have you invited to a telephone conversation just to get to know each other? Oh, I haven't done any of that. Uh-huh, okay. So I'm asking, you know, I'm asking like the footwork types of questions because it's not the build it and they will come model. It's build it and then, you know, get out there and mix and mingle. It's so important to put that human touch into things and don't forget to get out there and touch base with people and get to know them and don't be afraid to take a conversation offline. Just because you're doing things online doesn't mean you have to always be online. So, you know, there are just some simple little things that you can do that can accelerate somebody buying from you or somebody becoming one of your referral partners or somebody becoming one of your biggest fans who tells their whole network about you.
Yeah, and this goes back to this connection and relationship piece that you were talking about earlier on the call. And it's something that, you know, as we take it offline with those one-on-one conversations, you find out, like as you said, if someone might be a good, you know, strategic partner, or you may find out something about your product or service that you hadn't even thought about.
Oh, yeah. And also getting, you know, having other people contact you and, you know, talking about your business to other people. And then, you know, sometimes somebody will say, oh, tell me what you do. And they say, well, you should know what I do. I have it on my website. And then they'll say, well, yeah, but I'm not clear. Well, then you've just gotten some really good information. I mean, I remember having a conversation with somebody and they kind of expected me to know a lot of things about them. And I said, gee, you know, I didn't realize that that's what you did. You know, that was funny. I didn't realize you were a professional speaker. And they're like, that's what my whole business is. And I said, well, I didn't really get that. I didn't see it in your bio. I didn't see it on your Facebook, you know, about me area. I didn't see it really on your website. So it's really important that, you know, you listen to the type of feedback that people are giving you, and that's extremely valuable. Oh, and you know what else, Adela, what is really cool, and this will freak some people out, but this is something I always tell my clients to do, is get to know your competition.
Mm.
Especially, and the closer they are to what you do, the more important it is for you to get in touch with them. People kind of freak out, and they start to bristle, and they get these stories in their head like, ooh, I don't like her. She's doing what I'm doing or using my word or whatever.
Right.
And I say, you know what? I'll bet you anything, you're doing it completely differently. And so I always encourage people to get on the phone and talk to that person and say, you know what? I noticed that you and I do something really similar, but I would love to find out where we overlap and where we differ. I think it would be very helpful for both of us to know that. And you might overlap in some really general basic areas where pretty much everybody overlaps, but it's when you find out where you differ, that's where the relationship suddenly becomes more valuable. Because let's say there's a person who specializes in press releases and another person that specializes in public speaking, and they're both doing, you know, some kind of a marketing. Well, they just discovered, it's like, oh, you know what, I don't really like to do press releases. I'll send all the press release people to you, and they say, oh, I don't really do public speaking stuff. How about if I send everybody to you? And then you discover new relationships with even greater value.
Yeah, I love that. That to me speaks to one of the distinctions I've been talking about for a bit around collaboration versus competition.
Yes,
That you won't find out until you get into these one-on-one conversations with people.
You don't. And there was actually a book, I can't remember the name of the author, who wrote a book called Co-opetition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about cooperative, getting cooperative with your competition and just finding those areas where, you know, maybe you're talking to the same people, but there are these nuances and distinctions where you can really just shine. And I love that. I think nothing worse than feeling like you've got competition breathing down your neck. And then when you find out that it's not, oh, my goodness, it's just a relief off your shoulders. And then you've got a new friend out of it, too.
Yeah, it can just totally shift your whole energy around what you think about your business, too. It's one of those, one of those assumptions that we can make that is totally up for, you know, for revision.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, wonderful. I know that you provided our folks, and I sent it out in an email, a really nice assessment so they could get started on that first piece, the treasure hunting.
Yes.
And I just wanted to mention it again online. It is on Nancy's speaker page for those of you that are on the webcast. But if you're not on the webcast, you can go to profitableessence.com/getstarted.pdf. I'll say it one more time. profitableessence.com/getstarted.pdf.
Cool. Yeah, that is a little assessment that I put together, and it's called Finding Your Profitable Essence, and it's really, there's a little guide to how to use it, but really what it's all about is, first of all, doing a little bit of treasure hunting for yourself, taking some action steps, and then also I've shared some success stories of people who have had some profound shifts in their business as a result of zeroing in on their profitable essence. And for those of you who have it, I want to really encourage you to take the assessment. It's short. There are 20 questions, and you answer yes or no. And I'll give you a little hint. I'll give you just a little insight into it, because you might figure it out when you're actually taking it. The first 10 questions are pretty much on the more on the feeling, intuitive side, and the second 10 questions are more on the getting more and more logical and tactical. So you'll be able to see more or less where you are out of balance or in balance, and then on the page after that, there's a little scoring guide that tells you what your score means. And regardless of what you score, I just want to let everybody know there is hope for you, and there is a solution for you. Even the people who score really high, you know, the highest score would be a 20, and you might score, oh, I'm perfect. And it's like, you know what, we all have room to grow. You might be, your perception might be that you're perfect at this moment, but I love this phrase, iron sharpens iron, and I think it's really important if you are working at a high level to surround yourself with high-level people who will constantly challenge you. As soon as you sink into your comfort zone, they'll kind of nudge you and say, well, what about this? What about that? And you're like, oh, you know, I know many of us wish for the day when we could just stop the growth opportunities. It's like, I'm done with them, but you know what? We aren't. That's part of life. And so there's, you know, we get these creative outbursts and we get these wonderful awakenings that are presented to us through our business. And I think having a business is probably one of the best ways to grow as a person and as a spiritual being, because you come up against a lot of your stuff when you have your own business. And especially when you're working at a high level and you kind of think that all your troubles are behind you, you know, challenges will continue to present themselves to you. So make sure that you have some great people around you who can challenge you, who can support you, and who can reflect back to you what your greatest work is. And then there are just, you know, even if you're at the very lowest score, I encourage you, you know, to stick with it, because you really are the success story that has yet to be written. And if you look at the quiz the little assessment on the handout, those are some good goals that you can set for yourself if you answered no to any of them. There's a little commitment to action inside of that little assessment packet. And if you just go through and look at your treasure hunt, find everything that you answered no to and put it down as one of your action items and make a commitment to take some steps towards it, and then put in a celebration date of when you'd like to have this completed, this is a wonderful way to guide your steps within the next however long you set your goal for, 7 days, 30 days, 12 months. But it's something that can take you and focus your actions so that you are moving towards using your profitable essence more and more in your work, so that you can pretty much build your business around it and streamline things. That's the most important thing. Everybody wants to simplify. So simplify and streamline when you follow your profitable essence, and then you'll see you start to make more money because people don't have to sit around and try to figure out so much.
Yeah. You know, earlier you talked about, you know, those folks that have, like, lots of ideas and they're good at a lot of different stuff. Any ideas how those folks can, because I think that sometimes what can happen, I know I've done this, I'm guilty of this, Nancy, is that I'll go into, like, you know, five different directions. Any tips on how to really streamline your focus, how people can streamline their focus?
Yeah, you know, I'm the same way. I'm one of those, I'm kind of hooked on the creative juices. I get a
mm-hmm.
nice little buzz from ideas, and I don't want to get off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to look at what is most important right now. And for so many people, revenue, cash flow, income, that is guiding them. And so being able to apply your idea to a situation where people can invest in you, that is the priority right now, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen too many people who have a beautiful message and a beautiful mission and wonderful ideas end up failing in their business simply because they weren't able to monetize it. And it's important that we focus on that. We need to, if we want to stay in business, if we want to be able to continue to get our messages out there, we need to find ways that we can monetize it. And so there, it's for some people, it's just say, okay, well, maybe I just have a creative day where I'm not under no pressure to tie this into the logical world in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to have fun. But I have a goal. By the end of this week, I want to take, you know, four action steps that are going to help me monetize this. And it might be asking your target market for their opinion. If you have a couple of ideas for products or programs, you know, get an idea of what people want to buy and then take the steps to do it, because I find that I'm just a happier person when I've got money coming in, and
mm-hmm.
when I don't, I'm really, you don't want to be around me. I get kind of crabby. You know, we go into worry and we go into fear, and if we're not monetizing, then, you know, we run the risk of getting into that really negative space that throws a wet blanket over those wonderful talents. And is that what we want? So I think as far as prioritizing, it's really important to look at monetizing and making it as fun and as wonderful as possible, and to remember that every single time you're out there, getting people to invest with you, or, you know, offering your services and people say yes, that you are putting good out into the world, and it's helping you and it's helping them, and there's a large ripple effect.
Wonderful. Yeah, you know, having that balance between having your creative day sounds like a great compromise, and taking action on those ideas and monetizing them. And I think that you've put a couple of really good ones out there, like even those one-on-one conversations. You know, sometimes we wonder, you know, well, what can I be doing to really get my business out there? And I think those one-on-one conversations are great opportunities to do that.
If I were to say what's the most important way to market your business right now and bring revenue in, I'd say it's through those one-on-one conversations.
Yeah.
People want the personal touch. We're all on email overload. seems like everybody has taken a class on how to do a launch, and we're all being bombarded to death. And it's like, can we just have a little personal touch? It's really overwhelming. And I think it's going to neutralize at some point, but it's very important we do that. You know, when I first started my business, I was really focusing in the areas of creativity and business. So when you mention, you know, what do you do with the creative flow? I mean, I'm not saying this because I'm trying to squelch people. I'm actually, you know, a person. I've written numerous articles and been interviewed around the concept of creativity and business. So this is actually a creative tip from a creative person, that focusing on the monetizing, it doesn't mean that you have to put your creativity away. You can actually have a lot of fun doing that. And, like, for instance, when I came up with my Viva acronym, I was so excited. And I realized that the next time I had a conversation with somebody who was interested in working with me, I could actually let that acronym guide me through the conversation, validate the person for, you know, coming to the call, investigate a little bit more about them, verify if they liked what they heard and they'd like to move forward, and act, make an offer. And boom, next thing I know, I've got, you know, clients coming in just by me following these four simple steps. So you can apply that acronym to a variety of situations. But that was this creative moment where I said, ooh, how cool, I have a little acronym. And I was able to apply it to a situation and see immediate results. So I want people to know that it's not an either or. It's definitely a yes and.
Yeah, and if you're bringing money in, you're going to be a lot more relaxed and a lot more open and a lot more creative.
Yeah.
That's really the truth. Yeah, and the other thing that I'm hearing here too, Nancy, is especially with this one-on-one approach, that's a point of differentiation right there.
It's that warm personal touch, and that's really what people are looking for.
Yeah.
And your profitable essence will shine through when you get one-on-one with people. They want to hear warmth. They want to hear authenticity. Everyone's tired of seeing the glossy brand, and then you actually talk to the person or see the person, and they're nothing that their brand represented. We want the real deal, and you're the real deal. So that's the best way that you can communicate the authenticity.
Yeah, and you've got a great question that folks can use, when they're in these one-on-one conversations.
Oh, yeah. This is, if you want to take care of, I'd say, a good 80% of your marketing problems, all you have to do is just focus your conversation around this one question, and that is, what's your single biggest challenge? And then you insert it into the context of the work that you do. It's very simple. It's not new. It's not rocket science. It's not like I just woke up and invented this. But this is the easiest way to get to the heart of what's going on. Ask somebody, what is your single biggest challenge with X? You're not asking them for their top 10 or to choose 5 out of 20. What is your single biggest challenge? You know, when I talk to prospective clients, and, I'm asking them, well, what is your single biggest challenge? And they're telling me about 10 different things. We have to get to the root of it. A lot of times it ends up with saying, I'm not making enough money. All right, okay, well, that's the challenge. All right, let's talk about how we can make that work. What's going on? Then we discover, okay, well, you're not really standing out in your marketplace. Nobody knows about you. There's no credibility. So that's definitely costing you money. So let's work on getting that fixed. Let's put a plan in action. And that's when the working relationship starts. We find a way to address that and to turn things around. So that's something that I am very committed to, and I find that every industry has a challenge. Every person has a challenge, and there's somebody out there who can help us overcome those challenges.
Yeah, and then in that conversation, you want to make sure to provide an invitation.
Oh, of course. the invitation is going to be, once again, if I follow the Viva acronym, I've verified, it's like, do you agree that you need to be more visible? And they'll say, absolutely. And, here's an invitation. I'd love to mentor you through that process.
Yeah.
And there's some information inside of the handout if people are interested in learning a little bit more about getting some help from me, getting some mentoring. I have the Profitable Essence mentoring program, as well as some other cool things. And I know that well, for people who are listening to this before June 3rd, 2010, I am having a live event in Anaheim, California. I'd love to invite people to attend that. It's at iheartmybiz.com, and that's going to be 3 days of business building. But if you don't get a chance to go to iheartmybiz.com, you can check me out inside of the handout that I gave. There's a web address.
talkwithnancy.com.
Yeah, if you go to talkwithnancy.com, that'll take you immediately to a request for a strategy session with me, where we can go over some of the things that you've discovered about yourself through this conversation, and we can uncover what it is about you that might be holding you back from making the money that you want to make and having the fun that you want to have in your business.
Awesome. Wow. The time just flew, Nancy. Thank you so much for being with us.
This has been great. You're a fantastic interviewer.
Thank you, Nancy. I love having, thought leaders, conscious thought leaders and connecting them with folks who are really ready to launch their conscious business. That, to me, gives me no end in delight. So, and I'm so glad you could be with us, because I know you're really, really busy. So.
Well, I'm happy to be here and just really admire you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Nancy. And thank you, everyone, for being here at the Conscious Business Telesummit. We've got another program on Thursday, and we'll see you then. Thank you so much. Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks.
All righty, bye-bye. Bye, everyone.